Christ the Lord will now speak to you through his holy word. And he's going to show you something amazing about himself this evening and what he wants you to know about yourself and how he can use you in kingdom ministry. Matthew 14, verses 13 through 22. Hear now the word of God. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place. The time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. Matthew Henry says that this story of Jesus feeding of the 5,000 with just a few loaves and fish is a story that is recorded in all the Gospels, which is unique about this story. He points out that, you know, not even many of the stories are shared in all the Gospels, every single one. And this one is. So he says, therefore, we should consider that there's something in it of a special remark. There's something in it of a special remark. There's something special for us to learn here. After all, again, things that are repeated are particularly important. So what does Jesus want to show us here? Well, one thing he's showing us, we're still in the section of Matthew that is about his power. The first section was him really being revealed as the king, and now we're seeing his power, great power to confirm his mighty words. And we have seen, among many things, particularly many healings, many amazing, miraculous healings. And here more tonight, we see briefly that he heals many. But then we see the focus of the text, this amazing miracle. Jesus has this great, amazing feast, almost out of nothing. Jesus feeds thousands, miraculously, using the disciples to teach them to trust that he will serve others through them. That's something we don't want to miss. Jesus is showing something about himself, but he's showing what he wants to do by himself and his power through his servants. He's using them. He's making a point to use them in part to take care of others. And he's showing that we can trust him to do so. And I was thinking about this text yesterday while many of us were serving one of our brothers at his house, helping to fix up his yard, helping to fix up his house after he'd been very sick. I was thinking of this text, and I was thinking of your service as a perfect example of this tonight. You know, you and I are very few. Many of us are a little sick recently. Many of us have challenges in our lives, time commitments, things that can make it a little bit difficult to show up for something like this. But by showing up, Jesus shows up. And many hands make light and satisfying work. And didn't we, as we were watching each other's work outside and inside, observe the work and say, wow, what a difference. When we first came there, I think we said, ooh, okay, this is a lot of work. But we got it done in just a few hours. We looked over the work and we were glad to see that Christ can make your little go a long way. And that's the message for you tonight from this text. Christ can make your little go a long way. Recognize first that Jesus gives you the example of Christian service. We see just wonderful things about Jesus Christ. We want to see him setting himself as the example for us to follow. Jesus gives you the example of Christian service in himself. Charles Spurgeon puts it this way, he is like the captain of a ship. A captain is the last one to leave a ship. He says, so is the Lord the last to leave the scene of labor here. We see first Jesus' example to follow. Jesus is giving an example to follow. And one of the things we see is he is working hard doing the service, and he's the last to leave. Verse 22. Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into his ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Notice that. Hey, disciples, you go ahead. You get on the ship. You go ahead. You've done enough. You've done good work. Now you go on ahead. I'll catch up with you. And then he also makes a point to dismiss the crowds, thousands of people. He's the one dismissing the crowds. Look at verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Here could almost be the most important verse in terms of how we are to follow Christ's example. His example is compassion. He was moved with compassion on the needy crowd. Now think about this. He just heard that John the Baptist was beheaded. He leaves. He tries to get away, certainly probably trying to keep from Herod getting after him now, because Herod's hearing about his fame. Also due to reports of the disciples coming back, but he tries to get away, and as a number of commentators point out, it looks as if before he can even get off the ship, everybody's caught up and got there. He gets off the ship, and there are all the thousands of people, and he can't get any rest. But notice what he sees. He doesn't complain. He doesn't say, oh, I can't get a break. He has compassion. That is, he has sympathy. He has pity. As some of the other gospels say, he saw they were sheep without a shepherd. He's concerned for their hungry souls, but he's also concerned, as we'll see, for their hungry bodies. But also, he heals them. Notice this is mentioned very quickly, but it says he heals many of their sick, those with infirmities. So he has pity, but his pity is seen in action and in service. Though he was in the need of solitary rest, how often do we see Jesus getting away? And yet he can't get away. He needs the solitary rest, and yet he doesn't send them away, which is what was suggested to him. Right? Just as elsewhere, hey, send the children away. Jesus doesn't have time for this. No, let the little children come unto me, such is the kingdom of heaven. So here the disciples say, hey, you know, you need to send these people away. And I think they're well-meaning. They don't understand what Jesus is about to do. But Jesus says, no, we don't need to send them away. I'll take care of their needs. He came to serve. He's the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. While he needed solitary rest, he denied himself to wait upon the needs of the multitude who were waiting on him to show up. Though he was spent, he did not spare himself from more service. Look at verse 19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake. And gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Notice he directs the crowds. He says, get in order. And the other gospels say, I believe, by 50. He's very organized. Remember, God is a God of order. And you who like orderly things, you're going to like this. He doesn't just say, throw out the food there like a bunch of birds or, you know, goats or, you know, he says, get them organized, get them in groups of 50. We're going to serve them in an organized fashion, similar to the 12 baskets later. He gets the crowds organized so that they can be best served. You can even think about that related to the Good Shepherd. He causes his sheep to lay down in green pastures and by still waters. And you remember that sheep won't eat and they won't drink unless they're at peace. And the Good Shepherd knows how to bring them to a place where they'll eat. So he's getting them settled, getting them organized, set down, get still, be ready, and then he's going to serve them. Notice he also is the example. He says grace before a meal. He lifts up his eyes, notice. He lifts up his eyes to heaven to show where this is coming from and where he has come from as the bread of life who's providing this bread miraculously and fish. He is the fisher of men with these fishermen. He's lifting his eyes up to heaven and he's thanking God. He's praying a blessing over this meal before he distributes it. He doesn't just feed people. He gives glory to God, the giver of all things, the one who is the sustainer of life. He's the example there. He directs all their eyes on heaven. And then he miraculously feeds thousands of people. I wish I could take this in the way I should. You know what I mean? I wish, like the miracle we're going to read of next week, I just wish I could take this in the way I should. I appreciate what R.C. Sproul said in the video today, the Negro spiritual that speaks about the crucifixion. Sometimes when I think about the crucifixion, it makes me tremble. And when we hear about this amazing, wondrous work we're called to behold, as we sang in Psalm 46 just now, if it doesn't make us tremble, may it make us marvel. As when Jesus said, cast out the net again, Peter, I know you've been fishing all night. Do it again. And he does, and then they have so much fish. And what does Peter say? Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. He's scared. This must be God. This is the power of God, and God is holy and righteous. May we just be in awe of this miracle. Jesus took 5 loaves of bread, probably more like pancakes, not even loaves like we would think of. A couple of fish. And he fed thousands. Try to imagine. Have you ever wondered what it must have looked like? How did this happen? Did he just keep reaching and miraculously pulled out another one? It just formed in his hand? Or did he say something and they watched before their eyes? It just multiplied before them? I mean, we don't know. It doesn't say how it happened, but it had to happen some way. I think that was likely observable. The Lord Jesus is just making this bread and fish multiply to feed thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And as you know, he's going to do it again. And yet the disciples will worry they don't have enough bread on the ship. He says, did you, at least in the Gospel of Mark, right, don't you remember what I did a little while ago? And we want to remember because he's teaching us something, how he's going to take care of us and take care of others through us, even with just a little. May we marvel over the miracle. Now, we do see Jesus often getting alone regularly to get refueled, but what you continue to see as you see here tonight, you continue to see Jesus serve to the point of exhaustion. This is his example. He serves to the point of exhaustion. Somehow he just keeps doing it. You know, he was fully human. He was tired all the time. And as he said, the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head, and yet he kept serving as they all went back to their homes. This is the example, especially for ministers and officers to follow, and we forget. We're servants. We're to sacrifice, even to the point of exhaustion. William Hendrickson writes this about the text, the fact of Jesus' example. It must not escape us that by doing this under such circumstances, he was also setting an example for the disciples. And in a sense, for the entire church throughout the ages. Jesus gives the example to be followed. Jesus gives you the calling to Christian service. Jesus gives you the example of Christian service. And Jesus gives you the calling to Christian service. Think of John 13. What did Jesus do there? He washed the disciples' feet. As I've said before, I think you would be uncomfortable if I tried to wash your feet. And I think you would be uncomfortable to wash my feet. And I'd probably be uncomfortable the same. Naturally, there's some culture involved here of, you know, what it was, walking in sandals and sandy areas and stuff. Jesus says elsewhere, you didn't wash my feet when I came in, but this lady does. You didn't treat me with respect. There's an aspect of that kind of a culture. But Jesus, the last one we would think should be doing it, is the one who kneels himself down and he washes the feet of his disciples. Try to imagine there, if you are the disciple, Jesus Christ, you've seen do all these miracles, he washes your feet. Peter almost can't handle it, right? Peter says, no. Don't wash my feet, Jesus. Jesus says, I have to if you're going to be clean. But then what does he say? You also ought to wash one another's feet. You also ought to wash one another's feet. Some churches have feet washing ceremonies. I'm not sure that I recognize that is something that is appropriate in a worship service, but I wonder what would happen. Maybe not in a worship service, but maybe in a fellowship event. What if we said for homemakers next year, and I'm not necessarily trying to say we should do this, but what if we did? What if we said, you know what we should do? We should have an intimate foot washing service of one another. I wonder if we would show up for that. I wonder if we would do it. I wonder if we could be humble enough to have our feet washed by another. I wonder if we could humble ourselves enough to wash another's feet. Jesus did it as an example to be followed. He says you ought to do the same thing. Whether or not he is having us think quite so literally to that, we need to recognize that Jesus is giving direction to his followers. He sets an example to be followed. Jesus gives an example to follow, and he gives direction to his followers to do the same. Here we see the discipleship of the disciples so that they serve and disciple others. Jesus is involving the disciples in this. I don't think I've thought about that enough until needing to preach this tonight. Jesus isn't just doing this by himself. He is really involving the disciples in the whole thing. He wants them to learn to personally serve sacrificially. Look at verse 16 and verse 18. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. He says, no, they don't have to leave. You give them food. I think you can understand they're a little perplexed by this. I don't think we should blame them. I'm not sure it's even a lack of faith more than a lack of being able to. Maybe it's a little bit of lack of faith, just like Mary said, hey, whatever Jesus says, do it. And she came and asked him, hey, we're out of wine. What are you going to do? Maybe there's a little bit of a lack of faith. I think maybe a lack of foresight. But they can't imagine, how are we going to do this, Lord? You want us to feed them. Do you know how much money it would take to feed them? And there's no way we can do this. We need to send them away now. They're maybe trying to think kindly. We need to send them away to be able to get their food before it's too late in the day. Jesus says, no, you feed them. He doesn't say, don't worry, disciples, I will feed them. He says, no, we don't have to send them away because you will feed them. Verse 18, he said, bring them hither to me. Bring what? Bring what you have. Well, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, verse 17. You bring it to me. You feed them. Well, I don't think I have enough even for myself. How am I supposed to serve everyone else? You feed them. You bring me what you have. Let's see what we can do with it. Verse 19, And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. He directed the crowds, and then he directed the disciples. He got the crowds ready to be served, and then he sent the disciples to serve them. He uses the disciples to distribute the food. I imagine if he wanted to, I shouldn't say imagine, if he wanted to, he could have just made the food appear in front of them. Each group of people in order, he could have just made it, boom, right? Why couldn't he have done that? He could have done it that way. He could have made the bread and the fish fly to each of the picnic areas. He could have done that. That would have been really impressive, I think. But he didn't. He used ordinary means. He used the disciples to bring these miraculous means to the people. He wants the disciples to distribute the food. He wants his ministers to feed the crowds. As he will say to Peter 3 times later, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord." "Then feed my sheep." If you really love me, you will be about the service of feeding the hungry sheep. Yes, they're difficult, but they're my sheep. Feed them if you love me. Now notice this. He doesn't just send them to feed the sheep. He sends them out again to do what? All right, everybody, get a basket. Verse 20. Go get the leftovers. Notice this, by the way, a little bit of a side comment, and really maybe a little bit more for fun than I want to push it, but one of the commentators did say, wastefulness is sinfulness. Christ provides for us abundantly, but he also expects us to be good stewards of what he gives us. Well, I can't say that he said, go get the Tupperware, right? He said, go get the baskets. Go get the leftovers. But I think there's a more important reason for that. We'll revisit in a moment. But he sends the disciples out to be about service, feeding and then cleaning and picking up after them. You might think of it that way. Now go clean the dishes. Go clean the tables. Verse 15 is something we want to be careful not to do. We don't want to excuse ourselves from service too quickly because we can't imagine how we will do it. It seems a little too intimidating, maybe beyond us, too much to ask of us. Beloved, unlike verse 15, don't too quickly dismiss opportunities to minister based on your own limitations. Don't feel like you can't afford to give more of your time or your treasures or your talents. There is always something more you can do in some way. There's always something more you can do to serve others. I think we often hold back. Mainly because maybe we think we won't have enough for us. Well, that's coming. We'll come back to that in a moment. But maybe also because we don't think we can be good enough or do enough. While you feel needy, know you can still meet other people's needs and that Christ will meet your need to do so. He wants you to follow his lead, his example, in meeting the needs of others. This is the way it's supposed to look like. If you look up some of what Spurgeon says about what a church is supposed to look like, if we're not involved in dirty places and dungy places, people of great need, if we're not involved as a church in reaching the lost and meeting great needs in bad places, then we're not really acting like a church. If we just come to show up for preaching and if we're not busy about service, then we're not really a church. Jesus wants his disciples here to see, and he wants you to see. He wants you to follow his example in serving other people's needs. And he wants you to know you can do it, because he can do it through you in ways you can't imagine. Jesus gives you the resources for Christian service. Jesus gives you the example of Christian service. Jesus gives you the calling to Christian service. And Jesus gives you the resources for Christian service. Jesus can turn your water into wine. Jesus won't waste your barrel of meal. Jesus won't let your cruse of oil fail. Jesus can make your pot of oil pour over and into many other vessels. You just got to show up and offer it. We don't want to waste our talents hiding them in the ground. Jesus here is showing the provision to follow. He's shown his own example to follow. He's shown that he calls us to follow his example. And he shows that he will provide for you to do likewise. Am I saying that we should go to the park right now with 5 pancakes and 2 fish and expect it to feed thousands? It's not what we're saying. These miracles are unique to the gospel ministry to confirm who he is as the Messiah. Nonetheless, he is showing us to show up to serve and to trust he will meet our needs if we come to serve. If we wait until we can think and see how it's all going to work out, we'll never do anything. Faith is showing up, trusting him to do something with what we have. And he'll show us time and time again that he will and that he does. Look at verse 17. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Look at that with verses 20 and 21. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments, they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Again, try to take that in. Jesus, we do not have the resources to feed all these people. Yes, you do, because I'm here. I have all the resources in the world. I have incredible ability to do things you can't imagine. And again, not that we can go to our refrigerator in the kitchen and think we're going to wheel that out in the parking lot and people will come from all over Paradise Hills and that food will just keep coming out of it. You know, we have practical realities we have to consider. Nonetheless, we should not turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, don't expect us to do this. We don't have the resources. If you're not thinking of it, I hope we can think of our new developing pantry with the diaconate ministry. Yeah, we don't have everything. Yeah, we're learning as we go. But we're trying to build with what we have, and we've even tried to direct more officer support with it, with moving an elder back to the diaconate to do what we can. And as we step out in faith, to trust he'll do things with it. And remember, even as we made that change, not long after, we had someone show up and ask for help, found out about our opportunity to serve through the Mercy Ministry, the pantry, with a number we didn't even have anything to do with, as far as I know. And this lady did say to the deacons when they met with the family, called a lot of other churches that say they have this, but they didn't. So we're doing what we can with what we have, and let us pray and trust that the Lord Jesus will develop the diaconate mercy ministry with the pantry. Let's just keep doing what we can and trying. Let's try to start getting the word out in new ways. Let's see what happens. Let's trust he's going to provide. Jesus is showing in this miracle, yes, you can, because I can. Yes, you will, because I will. I can and I will supply through your strained services. I know you feel strained. Continue to serve with what you have, and I'll do stuff through it. Jesus is showing the disciples what he shows you through them. He is the sufficient bread of life. And he will always fuel your service of him in feeding the souls and bodies of others. Somehow, some way, just show up for service and offer up what you have. And trust that you will not miss out by giving up of your own few loaves and fishes. Or as Jesus gives up of his time and energy and rest. Trust that you won't run out by offering up what you have, though it feels like you have nothing left to give. Charles Spurgeon writes this: by feeding others, our stock increases. Those who wait upon others at Christ's bidding shall have a fair portion for themselves. Those who fill others' mouths shall have their own baskets. Well, I thought of one thing. It's not always an exact connection with how our baskets are refilled, but you feel good after you serve. You're happy to see what you've done for someone. There's a sense of satisfaction in that and a blessing of God's presence. Well done, good and faithful servant. Think of Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Matthew Henry writes this about the text: those who have but a little, yet when the necessity is urgent, must relieve others out of that little, and that is the way to make it more. Jonathan Gill points out that Jesus is actually making and taking an opportunity with this miracle to fortify the minds of his disciples against all trials and persecutions they were to meet with. They're going to face all kinds of discouragements, all kinds of things that will make them feel like giving up. I don't think I have anything left. And this is a powerful memory for them. Yes, you do. You have me. I'm going to do things through you. I'm going to change the world through you. A.W. Arkeil says that he thinks these 12 baskets suggest that each of the disciples was to carry a basket, one for each of the 12 disciples to go and collect the leftovers. I think, again, as in bringing the food out for the first time, to learn to be servants, like Jesus is the servant, to learn to sacrifice of yourself to provide for the needs of others. But I think also, if that is the case, that each disciple goes out with a basket, also to see the abundance that Christ can provide out of little, and including through their service to meet their own needs in ministry. They come back with their own basket full of food. Beloved, Jesus wants you to see tonight he is sufficient for you in everything. Your salvation, your sanctification, and your service for and in him. He is sufficient for you. And he's sufficient for you to fill the needs of others, even with all your feeble insecurities. I mean, don't you feel like, I just don't feel capable of this, Lord. I don't know if I can show up for this service event. I feel like that all the time, just trying to minister to you. I don't feel capable. I mean, I'm not capable, not enough myself. The reason I keep showing up is because Jesus is capable. And if I show up and offer up what I could do, he will take care of the rest. So he will do the same with you. Let us not be too quick to default to what they do in verse 15 and send away service opportunities because we can't think and ask big enough of Jesus. Now, I was thinking of that as we were serving our brother yesterday. People will often talk about service projects. What country do you get to go to? And I'm sure they have more intimate and unofficial service projects. But, beloved, we just had a service project yesterday. You know, that's where the service projects begins, our own house, our own people in our church. There's a lot of churches that, you know, we can center people around the world, but are we really in the houses and homes of our own? And are we taking care of our own? There's plenty of service just with one another. Let's keep learning about each other and what our needs are, and let's meet those needs. And let's not think that we don't have what we need to do so. We have the Word of God. Does someone need comfort? We have the Word of God. We are the body of Christ. Does somebody need some comforting presence? We are the body of Christ. The Spirit of Christ dwells in us. We can pray with people. We can put our hands to work and ask God to bless the work of our hands. We won't do it perfect, but Christ can do something through it. Jesus can do more through your service than you can see. Just like the disciples, we can't really see how Jesus is going to use us. We see a need, and we can't necessarily see how we could possibly serve that need. Just try to do something and see what happens. As the famous preacher and provider, Charles Spurgeon, he writes this in his commentary on this text. And I have a number of quotes I want to share with you from him as we close this time together. Charles Spurgeon writes of this text, "We are able, when he is with us, to meet any case of want which may arise. We never need send the multitude away to be dealt with by the state, by the parish, or by the hirelings. If we will but set to work, we shall find that the Lord makes us competent for every emergency." We need to step out in faith like that so people have faith to come to us like that. He continues, "It is a good thing for us to know how very poor we are and how far from being able to meet the wants of the people around us. It is for our good to be made to confess this in so many words to our Lord." Now listen to this. Speaking of himself, "Truly, he who writes this comment has often felt as if he had neither loaf nor fish." Charles Spurgeon is saying, "I'm writing this saying, you have to trust Jesus can use you." And he says, "I often felt like I had nothing to give." Well, remember where he first started preaching, in a little home, a couple of people. Remember where he ended, these huge, enormous places with tons and tons of people. He showed up to serve where he was, and God used it and made it multiply and grow. But he said, "I often have felt like I didn't have a loaf or a fish. And yet, for some 40 years and more, he has been a full-handed waiter at the king's great banquets." He's writing this near the end of his life in this commentary. Let me read you that quote again in whole. Let me read the two quotes together. He says, "It is a good thing for us to know how very poor we are, and how far from being able to meet the wants of the people around us. It is for our good to be made to confess this in so many words to our Lord." Like the disciples, "How are we going to do this, Lord?" Then he goes on, "Truly, he who writes," speaking of himself, "truly, he who writes this comment has often felt as if he had neither loaf nor fish. And yet, for some 40 years and more, he has made a full-handed waiter. He has been a full-handed waiter at the king's great banquets." He's saying, "I have not felt like I've had anything to work with, and yet because I show up to serve, God has always made me a full-handed waiter. I've never lacked anything to provide at the king's banquets when his people gather together to be fed and taken care of." Now, another quote from him or two in a moment, but let's stop and think about what he just said there. And let's remember something. He's saying, "It's been 40 plus years I've been serving, and I often feel like I can't do it. But I just show up to serve, and God fills my hands somehow to meet the needs of others." You might remember at the beginning of our study through Matthew, I volunteered in Charles Spurgeon's commentary on Matthew, which is from our library. This is the last work he ever worked on. As his life is fading, The last thing he was doing was to try to offer up one more thing to you. As he was losing his strength and dying slowly, he was writing his commentary on the book of Matthew. And so as he writes this tonight, he's recognizing his life is winding down. He's thinking back over his ministry and he's saying, I have often felt like I couldn't do anything, but look what God has done with it. Well, think about this. Right now, you are hearing from his pen as he wrote, as he's dying. He wrote it up to the last few days of his life before he died. He wrote this commentary for you. He's saying to you tonight, I know how you feel. I know how you feel. I felt that way my whole ministry. I felt completely incapable. Did you ever expect to hear that from Charles Spurgeon? Probably because you know he's an honest man. But did you ever expect to hear that from him? A man who struggled with depression, as many ministers do. He said, I often felt like I had nothing to give, but I just kept showing up, sacrificing myself to serve others. And Jesus always made my hands full to serve them. And many amazing things have happened. So think about this. He wasn't just a great prince of preachers. You can look in our library and you can see how much this man wrote and preached, how many books he wrote. Many, the money he made from them, he gave to the ministry. But remember his enormous establishment of orphan homes and a pastor's college and other mercy ministries. He was involved in life with his church, meeting the needs of those who had real needs, physical needs in addition to spiritual needs. Recognizing the two are not mutually exclusive and challenging us if we exclude physical needs so that we can just gather around and meet our own spiritual needs, then we might not really be Christians and we might not really be a church, because that's not what the church is. It's not following Jesus. Jesus gives the example of washing feet and feeding thousands of people when he's exhausted. And he was trying to get alone. And he says, you do the same. You feed them. You give me the little that you have and see what I'll do with it. And then he shows, look what I did with it. May God increase our faith and help our unbelief that he would do the same. May God bless this mercy ministry. May we all respond to the message that was given to us last Sabbath class last week. And may we show up with the donations being requested. The least we can all go through our closet and find a whole bunch of clothes we never use. Saying how much we lack, and all we have to do is look at our closets. How about we show up to that call and bring more? Well, does anyone ever going to know about this pantry? Is anybody? Let's just show up and see what he does. This community around us has great need. If we provide, let's trust he'll provide those in need to come and find us. And we'll keep reaching out. Spurgeon also writes this. We must hand all over to Jesus. We must hand all over to Jesus. And then he says this. He will make a little go a long way. Indeed, beloved. And that's where I got my idea for the sermon title. Christ can make your little go a long way. Will we show up to serve with one another once more? Will we keep showing up to church? Will we show up for service opportunities? Will we follow Christ's example and give what we can, trusting he can do a lot with it? If we'll just give it up to him. And we can excuse ourselves sometimes saying, look, I don't have enough to give. I don't have an ability to serve. I'm not talented. Just show up. Offer the little cruise. Offer the little barrel of meal. Indeed, beloved, Christ can make your little go a long way. And when you need encouragement to show up for more service for Jesus, when you have needs brought to your attention and you feel incapable, you remember this real life story. Jesus can work miracles through uneducated fishermen. Jesus can work miracles through the very little we have to offer, facing unbelievable need. Christ can make your little go a long way. Let's offer up what we have and trust that he will. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would increase our faith and help our unbelief and give us servants' hearts, hearts that serve when it hurts and hearts that don't serve ourselves. Rather, we would say, if anyone brought attention to us, I am an unworthy servant. I'm unprofitable. I'm only doing my duty. But indeed, let us be concerned to serve. And Lord Jesus, let us not be afraid to offer up ourselves sacrificially. Let us not be afraid to show up for things when we don't feel like we have time and we don't feel like we have ability and we may not feel like we have resources. Money, the easiest thing to do, a go-away check, showing up to serve, a whole nother thing. Sacrificing of our possessions, a whole nother thing. Oh, Lord, we ask that you would make us true servants, following your example, trusting you will provide. We confess we often doubt it. Let us not hide our talents as people, as individuals, as a church. Let us continue to step out in faith and offer up what we can, certainly being wise stewards also to save and be careful not to put in ourselves into a place of debt and be a slave to the lender. But let us also not hold on to things unnecessarily. And let us not unnecessarily do only for ourselves. Let us serve Jesus. Let us serve others and forget about ourselves, other than just to trust that you can use us. You can use us. You will use us. When we offer up ourselves to your service, you will work through us. You will do things. And people won't have to turn to the world to be served and have their needs met. Help us, Lord, to offer up ourselves at the very least to be better friends and brothers and sisters, companions, weeping with those that weep and rejoicing with them that do rejoice, speaking the word to one another to bring encouragement, being with one another, being in one another's homes, showing hospitality, feeding one another, as you fed these people and as you fed the disciples in the feeding. We pray also you would feed our souls, O Lord God, with the bread of life. Keep us content, remembering that if we have food and raiment, we have all we need to be content because we have Christ who will never leave us nor forsake us. We love you, Almighty God. We thank you for this encouragement to us to step out in faith, trusting you will part the waters. You will meet our needs to meet the needs of others. We don't have to wait for a perfect situation that will never come. We need to be aggressive responders to those who come to us when there is a clear and urgent need. Almighty God, we lift it up to you and we ask that you would direct our steps, that you would bless those who come to you through us who have come to you. And Lord, that you would indeed multiply what we have for your service and the needs of others and the advancement of the kingdom of heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. And to all your people said, amen. Amen. Before we close with the benediction, we will sing unto the Lord Psalm 125, our nightly psalm that we close with, and in fact also our psalm of the week for opening and closing with the call to worship. Psalm 125, page 291. Please stand. Da 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 da.
that firmly trust shall be like Zion Hill, which at no time can be removed, but standeth ever still. As round about Jerusalem the mountains stand alway, the Lord his folk doth compass so, from henceforth and for for ill men's wrought upon the lot of just men shall not lie, lest righteous men stretch forth their hands unto iniquity. Do thou to all those that be good thy goodness, Lord, impart, and do thou good to those that are upright within their heart. But as for such as turn aside after their crooked way, God shall lead forth with wicked men. On Israel he shall stay.
Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church through by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.